And now, start saying interesting things now.
Hi, everybody. Thought you were leaving.
No, I was kidding.
Oh,
I was just being funny.
Every time I do this, I'm going to go for now.
Yeah, I have to leave.
I have to leave.
I'm Bill F. I'm not filling in for anybody. I'm normally here.
I'm Annabelle Laval. I'm Annabelle Laval.
I'm a fan of your work.
Thank you.
You're on the WGN TV Morning News.
Indeed, I am.
We got a text earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So many texts came in during the show. Now, normally,
uh-huh.
I know this is inside, but I just want to explain to people.
Do it. Break the fourth wall.
Can I break the fourth wall?
Do it. I'm going to stop looking at Instagram.
I already broke the glass ceiling.
I bet it was so thick for a white male.
It was a paper mache ceiling. I broke the paper mache ceiling.
You blew on it.
And it gave way.
And it gave way.
Destructed. The way the studio is set up is uh-huh. that there's a giant console in the middle of the room. It's mm-hmm. sort of shaped like a triangle,
see.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Wendy usually sits here where I'm standing.
And I'm you.
You're essentially where I normally am. And then on the other side, if it's open in case a wandering minstrel should find his or her way up into the studio.
Doesn't
we have a place.
Once a month? Just to whip.
That's our minstrel cycle, yes.
Yeah.
So,
isn't that the name of the podcast?
Yes, the minstrel cycle.
The minstrel rascals?
Yes, they have named themselves after that. Yes, so true. Yeah. So during the show, I'm over where you are.
Yes.
And I don't have a whole lot of to do because I don't understand electronics, so they don't give me a lot of buttons and switches.
Ironically, the show is called The Bill and Wendy Show.
Right.
But Wendy does all the technical stuff.
I convinced Wendy that it always goes alphabetically.
I would do that, too, though, because you're a B and I'm an A.
Yeah. Well, I forgot about that.
Yeah, so it would be the Anna and Bill show.
Unless, of course, someone's just filling in for the day. Then it reverts.
Then it reverts.
So I don't have a whole lot to do over on that side. So during the show, while Wendy's pushing buttons and moving levers and stuff, I just bring a coloring book and I'll just color during the show.
It is relaxing.
It's fun to do. Mm-hmm. It's fun to do. But I normally am reading the texts all throughout the show. I didn't have time to do that on this side. So during the break between the regular show and the bonus hour, mm-hmm. I was going through texts. And one of the texts said, you must ask Anna about the fire that took place during your segment today. You could have killed people. You started a fire.
But I didn't.
But you could. It was close.
But I didn't. Let's focus on that.
What happened?
I was doing a segment. I was at an around town today in the West Loop at a place called Bespoke Cuisine. And it's a venue where you can throw cooking parties.
Mm-hmm.
And chefs lead those parties mm-hmm. so that your group of friends or coworkers prepare an entire meal or just appetizers and then eat them.
It's
lovely
a great
place.
Idea.
But.
And it's owned and operated by Clay Champlin, who was the news guy for Wendy and my show when we were at the Loop.
Yes, he told me.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, totally. And so.
And why would you try to set fire to a man like Clay Champlin?
He trusted me with a towel and a spoon that I had used to ladle butter on a steak.
Yeah.
It was all very complicated.
You guys were making butter steak?
We were putting butter on the steak, like glazing it while it was in a cast iron. So I could burn myself in so many ways.
It's a dangerous job.
Right? So I was a little afraid. So I put it down, but I keep, for some reason, the towel and the spoon. And we've moved on to talk about other things, and I have the towel and the spoon. So I say, I says to myself,
mm-hmm.
self,
mm-hmm.
let's put this right
here. Are you on a first name basis?
By the stove, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's put this by the stove.
Why would you do that, though? The stove is hot.
Because I didn't know that burner was on, Bill. So I put the towel and the spoon next to a burner that was on.
Oh.
But it had a giant grill thing on top, like a pan
that
on top.
Cast iron.
That I couldn't see, right?
Uh-huh.
So I continue my interview, and Clay looks and said, come here, look at what Anna did. Look at what Anna did. And
this is on the air?
On the air.
Uh-huh.
When we turn, when my camera guy, Sean Maroney, turns, the towel has caught fire.
Oh, no.
And Clay.
Unflappable.
Unflappable.
That's what I like most about
knows
him.
What good TV is, you so he let him. It burn a little longer.
Just to add
suspense. And I
suspense.
Was like, where's the extinguisher? Get to it. Why are we? I couldn't stop. Like, I was so embarrassed. So he grabbed the towel, threw it on the floor. It's a small towel. It's a kitchen towel.
Yeah.
Threw it on the floor and stepped on it. End of story.
He's a hero.
He is a hero.
He saved your life, I think.
Yes. After that, they didn't allow me near
anything.
Sharp objects or anything on fire.
Do you realize, though, that that could have been the end?
Oh, totally.
You know that, right?
I know.
And it would have been
captured.
What are you,
my dad?
Well, but it would have been. No, I'm not. I'm no. I.
The last time you checked,
the paternity test clearly showed
that my father's my father.
Right. And remember how Maury Povich, he threw his arms up in the air. Well, whatever. You know, he didn't know what to make of it. But I mean, we're lucky that you're alive and Clay Champlin
is still there, and everyone that was helping us at.
Is anyone charred? Is there a light char mark on anybody?
Cuisine. No, nobody. We're all good. All our eyebrows are intact.
Young lady, as your dad might say.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
Bill, it's not like I lit the stove on fire. I wasn't flambeing, and then the whole place lit up. It was a little bit of a towel burn.
It would have been worse that it was on camera, because it would have lived on forever. You would have made real...
Don't you think WGN Morning News, to get more clicks right now,
they're running it now.
Reporter almost burns the whole place while
I guarantee.
Around town?
It's I bet if you went to the website, it'd be the first thing you saw on the WGN TV news.
I was the Ricky Martin girl. Now I'm the fire girl.
Remind me
again.
Kitchen
fire.
Why were you the Ricky Martin girl? I can't remember.
No, don't lie.
Did you accidentally fall in love with him?
No, I am in love with him.
Still, are you still now?
Actually, I do. I have a lot of admiration for Ricky Martin. Is he hot? Yes, he's hot.
He is. He's a very talented performer.
Very talented performer. A philanthropist.
Yeah. You know what he's doing? He's living La Vida Loca. Would you agree with me?
In more ways than one.
He is. He is living La Vida Loca. I'm living La Vida Blue.
Was that a person from 1964?
He played for the Oakland A's in the 70s. You were close.
I was close.
You came this close. Almost like the fire that took your
Ashley
life.
Ashley has no idea what you're what
Ashley's
we've been
napping
saying.
In the other room.
Yeah,
our
she
producer is taking a nap.
She's
so
like, I
please,
don't know. She's Googling.
Please
what?
Keep it down.
Who's Ricky Martin?
Right.
So
Ricky Martin is...
He's
I'm
my idol.
You.
I love Ricky Martin.
He's not my idol, but I can see where you would idolize.
I should
idolize.
Say he's not my idol either, because I don't idolize celebrities.
Don't
I really
idolize.
Don't.
You know who my idol is? Ephraim Zimbalist Jr.
19 what?
60s again.
Okay. Baseball or TV?
Star of the FBI. Okay. In color, as they would point
Darn!
Out. They would point that out.
That's what shocked you.
There was a point on TV when a show was broadcast in color that they would give you the title of the show.
In
and
color.
Now the fugitive in color. And
remember,
you'd sit up straight. Oh,
remember
in
when
color.
They went in stereo, we're available.
Right. We're available. Right. In color and in stereo.
So I fangirled over Ricky Martin, and I didn't know that Ricky was listening, and he heard me go nuts over him.
Well, how did he react to that?
He loved it, because I said very nice things about him. I said, you don't understand, because my coworkers, we were doing a satellite interview.
Yeah.
You can Google it.
Yeah.
And he couldn't see me and I couldn't see him, but I made Dean Richards. I forced him to allow me into this interview.
Oh, excellent.
And so I thanked him for all the work he had done for Maria survivors, Hurricane Maria.
Yep.
And it was the January after the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And I
donated time and money, if I remember right.
He's built houses in one of the towns.
Yeah.
And so I thanked him for that, and I asked him when he was going back, and that he could totally go with me. He could stay at my parents' house. We have an extra bedroom. He laughed.
Nice of you to offer.
It was great. He spoke about it, whatever. And she goes, okay, mama. Okay, baby. And I was like, very dignified.
Oh.
Like
you kept your cool there.
I kept my cool.
Not easy to do.
Like a Greek friend of mine would say, 100%. I kept my cool.
Good.
We go off the air and they say, bye, Ricky. Bye. Okay. And I'm like jumping on the air because I know he can't see me. And Robin Baumgarten says, boy, I've never seen Annabelle this happy, or I haven't seen her this happy in a while. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm ecstatic. I hug the camera. I said, you don't understand. As a minority on mainstream media, you don't have a lot of role models, right?
Sure.
And so when you have a Ricky Martin that wherever you go around the world, you mention his name, or you say Puerto Rico and they say Ricky Martin.
Yeah, right.
You feel like you're related to him and you're very thankful. Meanwhile, my executive producer notices that Ricky's listening on the other side with his eyes closed. And they go, is he listening? And his producer says, yeah, he is.
Oh.
So I'm going to punch him on. And so she that's what we call like putting the camera on the air.
Right.
They take a shot. And Ricky's laughing, and I don't hear it. And Larry goes, don't worry, Ricky. We will call 911 for you. And I go, and he goes, no, I love what I'm hearing. And I go, what?
You had no idea that he was
on the line? Oh. And I said, I'm going to kill you guys. And he goes, I don't want to be part of another American Horror Story. And that went viral.
Beautiful. That was everywhere.
Everywhere.
So when that happens, Do you feel, because obviously it was just, it was a very honest moment. It was crushing on a guy mm-hmm. who deserves it. So did you, because you're getting all that attention, do you like, I wish that never happened? Or do you go,
I wanted
I'm thrilled
to happen.
That
I was
it
trying to bank on it and capitalize on it and meet him in person and take him to Puerto Rico and do more.
Spend some time with him.
Do more philanthropic work with Puerto Rico. But
how would your husband have been with that?
His people didn't.
What if he had said, yes, I'm taking you up on the offer.
My husband would have said, get on that plane and go.
Yeah.
My husband knows he's gay.
Well.
Honestly. Yeah. And my husband knows the kind of admiration I have for him. And right. he would have been like, yeah, go.
Interesting. If he was a straight performer that you idolize,
he probably would have an
story.
Issue. When I was going to interview former President Clinton, I'll tell you off the air what my husband, who is a Democrat, told me.
All right. That's fair. Not to anyone else listening, but it's fair to me.
I'm going
to
tell you.
All right, that's okay.
But he was a little, you know.
I've had two instances that I can think of that on air, somebody that I admired said something to me. One was Jennifer Gardner. I think Jennifer Gardner is just beautiful.
I love her.
She's so beautiful.
Yeah.
You know? And I think she's been treated unfairly by Ben Affleck.
Yes.
Affleck! Just treated unfairly by that duck guy. He was not nice to her. He ran off. How do you cheat on Jennifer Garner?
I think it was more it wasn't the cheating. It was the
lying.
The
lying and the cheating. Almost lit her on
alcohol
fire.
Alcohol abuse.
And there's that.
Substance abuse. Yeah.
There's a list of things that he could have been better, and that's not fair. Anyway, we have Jennifer Garner on. I was working at another station, and just at the very beginning of the interview, just the way she said, "Good morning, Bill." Just Jennifer Garner saying good morning to me. I just like, I'm like, oh my gosh.
When he Jennifer said, Garner. Okay, baby, okay, mama, I was like,
Yeah, how can you not melt under those conditions?
I've done so many ridiculous things on the air between Spanish TV and English TV that to go viral with that.
What a surprise.
There were headlines on the Puerto Rican newspaper. Oh, she embarrasses herself.
You didn't embarrass
yourself. I
said,
absolutely not. I would do it over and over again. And when I meet him in person, I will be a little more restrained. I don't want to scare him.
But I bet he'll remember. Think about this.
He'll remember.
Of all the experiences Ricky Martin has had, when you do finally meet him in person, he'll remember that.
Or one of his handlers will show him the clip then again.
Right.
Because we're old, maybe.
Yeah, he may have forgotten.
I'll meet him when he's 80 at the rate I'm going. I mean, I have no connection to him. I know friends
who know
work
him.
With his foundation. I have friends who know people who work with him.
Yeah.
And, no, I think he'd rather stay
at
away
some,
from me.
At
I think
some
I scared
point,
him.
I predict you and he will meet up.
I don't know, Bill. I don't have that kind of luck. I'm always
so?
The person that, I'll get you tickets for that concert. And I show up and they have them for the wrong day. I was going to be on the cover of a magazine. The magazine folded before the issue came out.
That's horrible.
I'm always a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's my fault that I like, don't set myself up for those things.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe in the secret. You put it out there and the universe conspires.
No, I don't believe in that either.
But, yeah.
I don't believe that either. But I do believe that because of your job at WGN, where celebrities do stop by when they're in town.
I'm never in studio.
Yeah, but I think that somebody at the show will be smart enough to say, this will make for good TV.
They've tried so hard.
Really?
Tyra Martin, who may have wanted to be Tyra Martin at some point, tried so hard to get me to go wherever he was. He had a fundraiser in Puerto Rico, and they're like, if you guys want to buy a table, you can come as guests, and we'll
set
do
up
a meet
go
and greet.
GoFundMe page.
And we tried all sorts of things, and there was no interest. And I was at the J-Lo concert the other day, and I bought cheap tickets because I didn't want to pay a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I took my daughter and I was so excited. And a friend of mine from Puerto Rico said, how are you not covering her backstage?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, people don't understand. That's not how it works. First of all, that beat belongs to Dean Richards.
Yeah.
And he may or may not have me killed if I do that.
He would have you killed. He
will bring me along, but that's his beat.
Yeah,
B, J-Lo doesn't know me from Adam. C, we are a local station and Jennifer Lopez does not need, she's
wants to international.
She wants
international.
They don't want to wake up early, blah, blah. And the way you cover these, just so people know, is that you go in with like three people breathing down your neck and telling you have 2 minutes to record a song.
Get
and
in and
then
out.
You're out.
Right. Because they've got a thousand other interviews today.
So my friends at Univision, they get more chances with artists that I know growing up because the Latin American market is different.
Yeah.
But once they hit J-Lo, Shakira status, that kind of thing, you have to be the entertainment reporter. With social media, they have no need for a backstage reporter.
Could you get in to see Los Lobos? The Wolves? They're the Wolves.
Yes, I know. Maybe Not Los Lobos, but Los del Rio.
I don't know. Oh, those guys.
Maybe.
You could maybe get in to see them.
Maybe.
Talk to them for a few minutes.
Maybe.
Can I tell you another one that excited me and everyone else around me is like, what's the big deal? We were just playing a Duran Duran song. We had Simon Le Bon on.
Oh, Larry Potash would faint.
He called me his mate at the end of the interview. He said, you know what? Well, you're my mate. And I go, Simon Le Bon, you called me your mate. And that
and
to
he's
me.
Like, that's just a term I use.
Yeah, they say that all the time in Britain. But to me, it meant he and I might have, we might go out for bangers and eggs.
I thought Lin-Manuel Miranda and I were going to be friends.
And
we sat and
have you given up on that?
Totally. He doesn't even retweet when I tweet him. I sat with him at a dinner for the Puerto Rican, the National Center for Puerto Rican Arts and Culture, because he was getting an award. And I sat and had a wonderful conversation with him and his father. It was great.
And you said, I bet this becomes a lifelong friendship.
I'm gonna be Vanessa in the Heights movie. Mm-mm.
Do you know to this day?
And he even told me you did a great job managing this. This was great.
He did.
And
what
his
nice
dad
recognizes
me when his dad comes to Chicago. He pretends to know who I am, which is lovely.
Can I tell you a secret about him?
No friendships.
Every time his name comes up, whether I'm saying it or somebody else, Lin-Manuel Noriega. Every single time, I have to stop myself every single time and say it.
Miranda.
I know it.
Like the Miranda rights.
Miranda
from Sex and the City.
I'm going to use all that in my head because there's never been a time once where myself or somebody saying his name, I don't go, Lin-Manuel, do I say Noriega? No,
don't
I say Miranda.
He would find it really funny, though. He's great. He has a great personality. Like Ricky Martin, they're very personable people.
Yes, they are. And
not
why should they
be? Friends of Ana Belaval, not friends of Ana Belaval.
That's so upsetting to me.
It's okay.
I swear to you, before this game is over... Mm-mm. You will meet him?
No.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I met Lin and it was great.
So if you met him, why couldn't you meet Ricky Martin?
I don't know.
There's not that big of a difference.
I don't know. When he comes to concert to Chicago, I don't know.
You don't see it.
I don't see it because that's the kind of life I've led.
Yeah.
I'm always like the second fiddle.
Is he the one guy, like if I was surprising, let's say I had a box in the corner and it said, Honest Celebrity Surprise Box, and it opened, you'd want Ricky Martin in that celebrity surprise box. Mm-hmm. That'd be your guy. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I don't know why. I wasn't like that. I thought he was awesome when I was younger.
Yeah.
But
what was his group when he was a kid?
Menudo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They had a weekly show in San Juan, a weekly TV show in Telemundo. And you could go as an audience member. And I went twice because friends of mine would celebrate their birthday. And it was going to Menudo.
Did any of the other Menudo, the other four, right? There were five guys in Menudo. Mm-hmm. Did any of the other four reach the prominence that Ricky Martin did?
No, none.
None of them did.
Actually, one of his friends, Robbie Draco Rosa, writes, he was a rock star in Latin America. He hit it kind of big, but not like Ricky. And he writes songs for Ricky.
If the five guys in Menudo were going to fight the five kids from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, who do you think would win?
The Power Rangers.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, they're athletes.
It'd be a close fight, but I think it'd be...
You know what I'm saying?
They are athletes.
They're fighters.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. All right, we'll take a break. We'll regroup. We'll get you some news. And then there's more of us.
No, Ricky
Bill
Martin.
And Anna. Let's leave it to Chance.
The rapper? Does he know him? Because if Chance knows
him. Oh, here
we
go. Now we're going back to it. All right, more after a moment. It's Bill and Anna in for Wendy on WGN. All right, we're going to take a look at the news.
Was that
No. Now, you have to keep in mind that we're hearing here in the studio, the listeners cannot hear. We were hearing, what's the name? I don't know the name of the song. Rick Astley is the performer, but I don't know the name of the song.
Never Gonna Give You Up.
That's it. But the listeners can't hear that. That's just for our listening enjoyment.
What do they hear? We'll discuss it off the air.
I'm not sure.
Because news is coming.
Yeah, news is coming. All right, so more of us right after the news. Here's Kim Gordon. Did you ever hear this, Hannah?
Who played that? You
name this song. Can you name this song? No,
she's
you can't.
She's into superstition. Black cats and voodoo dolls. I feel a premonition.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
That girl's gonna make me fall.
Yep.
She's sensation.
If you're just joining us, it's Bill and Anna's dance party.
Yep.
Only on the web. They won't let us do this on record. Yep.
Which
that means
not,
the crazy life.
It is not his only hit, For the Love of God.
No, he had a string of hits.
Before and after.
Yes. I can't think of any.
No, you can't because you're not bilingual.
No.
But he's had a few
hits. I'm ambidextrous.
Good for you.
What?
Makes you would me think, so happy.
You would think some of that
lucky
ability.
Lucky guy.
Yeah. Well, if not a witch. In the old days, they would have branded me a
That's
witch.
That's true.
Burned me at the stake or on your TV show.
I did not burn the steak. I burned a
no,
towel.
No, I understand.
And it was just a little
bit. I get
bit.
That. It's Bill F. and it's on a bolivar.
Ay, madre.
What did you say? My mother? My madre? Did you say?
Ay, madre.
Oh. All right, a couple things. First, as I mentioned earlier, I was not able, I had no access to the texts earlier, so I didn't know what people were saying or thinking.
But you're pointing at where the video is. You're not pointing at the text. I think you're making them up.
No, these are legitimate texts from legitimate listeners.
Oh, over there. Okay.
Yeah, on this
Remember,
one.
I don't like the negative ones. They make me sad.
Right, I didn't read you any
like
of the negative
ones.
Like
the one where my mother says that my forehead is showing too much with this haircut.
Who says this?
My
Your
mother.
Mother-in-law? Your mother says this.
That's they lose their
right.
filter after eating.
Yeah, but still, to be ripping on your forehead, because now you're self-conscious.
Well, she knows it's an issue.
Several texters pointed out
yes.
that earlier during our discussion of the loss of Artie Johnson from Ronan Martin's Laughing, I was saying that he would do a thing where he would just wear a German helmet and just pop his head out of the weeds. And I'm not sure why that was funny, but in 1969, that was funny stuff to have a German soldier in the weeds. So several texters said, what about Hogan's Heroes? That was a whole show that was like that.
You mentioned it during the break.
I did, didn't I? Yeah. I'm always wondering what was going on the day somebody pitched that idea to a network and said, you know what's funny is German soldiers and prisoner of war is always a funny topic.
I do have to say that when my dad pretends to have a German accent, my son finds it very funny. Like my dad will go, and my six-year-old son cannot contain himself and then starts doing it too.
But he doesn't know what it is, does he?
No, and my dad is, you know, like, because, I come from a strange, strange family, and that's, he gives commands in German to his six-year-old, and it's weird because...
That is funny.
His father's Jewish, and it just...
that's less that's, funny.
It's less
still funny.
But my husband laughs because my son now, he loves soccer, and he, like, has a lot of jerseys, and the last one is from the Bundesliga, and that's the German
that's
league.
That's a legit league.
And so we have a six-year-old walking around Bundesliga, and we're like,
so the key to your dad's impression of a German person is to just keep saying things that end in en.
And when we
what's the longest he can go before passing out?
Listen, we went to Europe, and he'd be like, and forgive my father, he's 80 years old, he was born during the war, and he'll be like, you hear that? It's a harsh language. It's like the plotting the Third World War. And I'm like, Dad, stop it.
Wow.
But his grandmother was German. My great-grandmother
really?
Was German. Maria Ritter. Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
So we have German blood.
Wow. He should do one of the...
I've done it on the air, and they laugh.
Well, it's funny, but I don't know why.
I don't know. And my son finds it hilarious. And now you're questioning why Germans aren't funny.
Well, no, Germans are funny. Mm. In the right circumstances.
Because you know how they say that Eastern Europeans have different sense of humor as we do?
Correct.
I think what we're doing is making fun of them or how they sound to us.
The stereotype.
Maybe they don't find our comedy funny, and that's why they find Carrot Top funny.
Germans
or Gallagher.
Like Germans enjoy Carrot Top?
Okay, so she's not German, but Nadia Comăneci.
She's funny.
I've seen her laugh at Carrot Top and
she's
and
Romanian.
Gallagher. She's Romanian.
Romanians
Eastern European.
Love Carrot Top.
Yeah.
Can't explain it. He sells out in a second.
Yeah.
I mean, huge venues of 100,000 people. They love him in Romania.
We come in different senses of humor.
Yes, we do. Yes, we absolutely do.
Have you watched Spanish TV and how much we yell?
I like that show. Is it called Sábado Noche?
Sábado Gigante.
So, but yeah, Big
That's
Saturday.
That's not on anymore.
They took that off?
Yeah, it was like 6 hours long, Bill.
It seriously
was. It was the longest running thing ever.
Oh, I love that show.
With Don Francisco.
Don Francisco. He was a master at it. He hosted.
And at harassing women. But hey.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
Mm.
He would just do, like, for a while, they would have, like, a monkey roller skating in a circle, and then
the next time,
there'd be a guy throwing potato chips at another guy.
And then they would have a full Saturday Night Live skit,
yes.
You know, with actors. And then he would have a serious conversation with someone who needed a kidney.
Right.
It was a huge variety show. And he had seen it at the Ed Sullivan Show, let's say, when he came to the States
to study
to be a tailor. He went to New York, and
what was his name? Don.
His name is Mario Grudzkiewicz.
Oh, that's a different guy. Who did you say earlier?
No,
the host.
His nickname is Don Francisco.
That wasn't his real name.
No,
I bought
He's Jewish from Chile.
And wait, seriously?
He changed his name
because
he knew that there was anti-Semitism, and Mario Grudzkiewicz is very hard to pronounce.
Yeah,
and he said you need someone jolly, and he saw Ed Sullivan and all these shows, and he's like, this is what we're going to do, and he did it for decades.
Oh, what a great show
that
was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then started telethons because he saw the Jerry Lewis telethon. So he has raised a lot of money for causes in Latin America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it wasn't on anymore.
It's not on anymore.
So part of the reason it was on was there was some scandal with him.
I don't remember if this was many years ago. Univision was changing their formats.
Yeah.
And it was a long show and he was older. He had been accused by a model or two
of being a little harassy. That's what I remember.
And so it was a combination of things. And the era was ending. People weren't watching it as much.
So they weren't looking for a new Don Francisco.
No.
They just said it's time to roll up the carpet on this.
They made... he made up all those jingles. He barely slapped. Very entrepreneurial guy.
How do you
guy.
Do a 6-hour show? Uh-huh. Saturday Night Live is 90 minutes. His show was 4 episodes of Saturday Night Live.
So the morning show I worked for Univision, Despierta America, which is called Wake Up America, the original version, the idea was that Latinos would feel like they were watching people in their home. Right. So they built a set that looked like a house.
Oh.
Right. Very colorful with a dining set and a living room and a kitchen.
Yeah.
And it had a dog. The dog was called Cosita, which is called Little Thing.
And a real dog or a
real dog? A real dog.
Yeah.
And Cosita had a handler who was also a stagehand who would take her home with him and bring her every morning. And she was the show's dog.
I don't remember that. Oh, but that was on your version of it. That wasn't on the Sábado Gigante.
No, that was at the morning show.
That was on your version.
On the morning show. Not my version. The morning show.
Right.
It's a separate show.
Oh.
Sábado Gigante was only Saturdays. It was a variety show. I'm talking about their version. Good Morning America or the Today Show. Univision had Wake Up America. And their idea was, you're in our house and here's our dog.
Do you know that on the early version of the Today Show, I'm not making this up, as I'm saying it, I'm thinking, if I'm you and I hear this, you think I'm trying to fool you, but I'm not. On the early version of the Today Show, they had a monkey named J. Fred Muggs, who was part of the part of the Today Show team.
Yeah.
It's just a monkey.
I don't.
You believe me?
I believe you.
It's true.
Because I come from WGM Morning News.
Right.
And the morning show from Univision with a dog in it. Yeah.
But wouldn't you think like
we had a fortune teller that would give
as
you the
a regular?
Horoscope? Yeah. El Niño Prodigio. Yeah.
Oh. Do you remember a show? You may be the only person I know who will remember this. So please know that this is a huge compliment that I'm even pulling this out because I don't think anyone remembers this, but you may remember this. Do you remember a kid's show that was on in parts of the world? And I think Puerto Rico was one of them. And it was hosted by a woman named Xuxa.
Sí.
XUXA.
Hilari.
That's it.
Hilari.
You remember it.
Este es el show de Xuxa y te saluda con amor.
And she would also sing a song
Xuxa.
Called Hello, Hello, Hello.
Only word she knew in English.
I think that's right.
Xuxa was
You remember
huge.
Xuxa?
Huge.
I loved that show.
Xuxa was huge.
So her thing was, it was geared toward kids, right? They
and
would have kids
dads.
On and me. I guess.
Xuxa was a low-cut top kind of girl.
Didn't she have a relationship with Pele? Or am I imagining that?
No, I was going to say the same thing.
I think she had a relationship with Pele. But you got to say, for a show that was geared toward kids... That was pretty racy stuff, that Xuxa.
Oh, totally. And those people tour. This is what we don't realize. It's almost like when I cover NASCAR or when I cover Monster Jam or any of those sports or entertainment things that are kind of subculture-ish.
Yeah.
Because people are like, oh, well, who goes to NASCAR? I was at NASCAR. They make, they're a multi-million dollar sure. business. These men can retire early
yes.
and buy an island somewhere.
Yeah.
And to take it further, I met a kid that retired at 26 with $40 million.
At 26?
From dirt biking.
Seriously?
Yes.
Wow.
So the same idea with the Spanish market.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, that Mexican banda, how ridiculous. How much money do they make? Dude, they own private jets.
Yeah, right.
Where the 12 members travel.
Yeah.
They own farms in Illinois, in yeah. Indiana, because they come from farming in Mexico. Yeah. So they want a big rancho and they buy it in Indiana. And so it's a subculture. You don't realize how wealthy these people are because they're not mainstream, right?
Where would I have even seen this
like,
show?
Ricky Martin is a millionaire and yeah. you met Ricky Martin when he had already achieved success in Europe, Latin America, Puerto Rico, and a little bit in the States.
Yeah. Where would I have seen Xuxa? How
I have no
how did
idea.
I spend a couple of years watching the show? When,
maybe on Telemundo or Univision?
Maybe
you had that channel and, you know.
Because I don't know anyone who, anytime I bring it up, nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Oh,
you're the
totally
only person
do.
I know
yeah.
who remembers it.
Este es el show de Xuxa.
Yeah, it was really good. Did you guys have, in Puerto Rico, did you guys have Zoom? Do you know what Zoom is? Zoom was a show that they did in Boston on PBS, but it became so popular that they made it nationwide. And it was seven kids who didn't wear shoes, no explanation. And they would act out scenes and play games and stuff. And I loved it.
Well, the shoes, what thespians are tied down by shoes.
Is that why they didn't wear them?
Or they want to feel the floor.
They would always do a section on Zoom where kids would write in questions. And I always thought if I ever wrote a question to Zoom, it'd be, where are your shoes? Put your shoes on, you kids. What's wrong with you? One of you is going to step on a tack and you can't blame me.
Right. Right.
There was no reason for them to not have shoes. But they would sing a bunch of songs. And it's because of Zoom that I know that the zip code to Boston is 02134 because they sing that in one of their songs. Just send it to Zoom. Boston, Mass. 02134. So the only two zip codes I know are the one I live in and Boston.
I knew Secaucus, New Jersey because
Why?
Of Romper Room.
Did they do that in Romper
because
Room?
Because they would say, send your birthday wish or whatever, Secaucus, New Jersey.
All right. Right, they did. Now, was your Romper Room the Miss Elizabeth years, or was there a lady who took over for Miss Elizabeth? Because she was the Romper Room lady.
I don't know. I was born in 1974.
Oh, I think she may have already retired.
But I do remember that they thought we, like, I always thought I caught her pushing that mirror thing out so that she could see Sally and Mary.
Romper Stomper, Bumper Boo, tell me, do, mm-hmm. tell me Magic Mirror, tell me today, do all my friends have fun at play, mm-hmm. that one? Mm-hmm. And then she would say the names of every kid, mm-hmm. but she wouldn't say our names.
No.
For some reason. Sometimes it would be words that were just in Klingon, and she'd see those kids.
Yeah.
And I'd be in front of the TV waving my arms. Miss Elizabeth, see me.
No, nothing.
Zero. Do you remember the section where they would show you what kind of weather you were having, and they would dress up a little boy and a girl in like either like a raincoat or a sun hat? Yeah. Yeah.
Never,
but how could they do that?
Never
because,
Puerto Rico.
Well, not just Puerto Rico, but they were broadcasting to the whole country, but they were saying, you know, it's going to rain today, but they didn't know in Chicago or Puerto Rico.
In Secaucus it was going
to
rain, I guess.
So we were finding out what kids were wearing in Secaucus, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Bogus. That's what it is. Were there other shows from here as a kid that you watched?
So I vividly remember making my bed before going to school and watching Green Acres on TBS when my parents got cable.
The reruns of...
I'm sure.
It would have to be.
The Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
The Cosby Show. Punky Brewster. Facts of Life.
Did you think that that's what life was like
pains,
in the continuous U.S.? It was like
absolutely.
Those shows?
Absolutely. Different Strokes. Living Single. Very 90s, late 80s kind of TV watcher. Yeah.
And which one did you want to live in? Was there one that you went, I wish I could
Different
live
world.
In that show?
I wanted to live with the Hoxtables, unfortunately.
Yeah. No. Understandable.
I like the dynamics and I love their house in Brooklyn or Upper West Side, wherever they lived. Where else? I liked that one and. Different Strokes. I liked their condo.
Would you have liked to have been?
I was into retail.
Mr. Drummond, like if he was gonna adopt one more, would you have liked to have been that one more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked the Jeffersons.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of TV.
Boy, it sounds like it. Yeah. Good for you.
I don't remember, like, you and Toomey, our friend Mike Toomey, I don't remember who starred in it or episodes of it.
Oh, but you don't?
I remember sitting there waiting for it and watching it, yeah.
When
Kirk Cameron was so cute.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
Dreamy.
Also dreamy. When the Brady Bunch was on originally on ABC on Friday nights, because there were no VCRs and you couldn't, there was no way to save a broadcast or something. You had to watch it when it was on. So my family never went anywhere on Friday night. We had to make sure, because the Brady Bunch meant so much to us, that we were home at 7 o'clock on a Friday. And there was one particular Friday that my mom had a doctor's appointment on a Friday, and she took my brother and I, because we were real little, with her. And it was apparent that we would not get home in time to see the Brady Bunch. So my mom drove to my dad. My dad managed a furniture and appliance store that had TVs everywhere. So we drove to his store and watched it there in the store so that we wouldn't miss
That's
an episode of the Brady Bunch. Yeah, very
wow.
good. Very, very good. Well, she knew that we'd be wrecks for the rest of the week if we didn't see.
It would ruin her week.
Yeah, so she had to.
I remember Sunday mornings just eating up the cartoons.
Saturday mornings or Sunday mornings?
Saturday. And thinking, oh my God, when are they going to end? And then they're going to play like the horse race or something really crappy. And this is all I have. And I was in my parents' bed with the blinds closed and the air conditioner on and just lounging there. My parents were not into TV at all.
No.
My mom had a really pretty living room. There was no television in there. So we had no family room. And so my brother had a TV in his room and I had one. It was never an issue if we watched too much TV.
Really?
We didn't have a lot of options, right? So my parents were never worried. This is going to burn your brain.
Yeah.
My mom's like, leave me alone, watch TV.
Oh, good for her.
And she said, put a television on each kid's room. They're different genders. Their generation gap is really big. My kids are 6 years apart or five and a half. You put a TV in. That's how I survived with you guys.
Yeah.
Because if not, you're fighting over what you're watching.
Right.
And I was like,
this
Mom,
is better.
My kids don't need television. They have iPads.
Hmm. Isn't that crazy?
But they each need an iPad.
But there was a time where...
I mean, they don't need it, but...
No, but they have to have it, even though they don't need it.
No.
That Saturday morning block of cartoons, that was either my favorite time of the week or my second favorite time of the week, because you just had 3 hours of nonstop... Mm-hmm. Animated numbness.
I didn't mean to hit the microphone.
You got violent on the mic.
I'm sorry.
But now a kid today on a Saturday morning, it's non-existent. They're running news shows. They're running political shows.
Yeah. I don't find anything to watch with them on a Saturday morning. I want to watch my CBS Sunday morning and maybe entertain with some cartoons. They're over those cartoons and they'll grab the iPad. The other thing is they don't know the suffering of missing out.
Yes.
Because my son will say, just rewind it. The live show.
Yeah.
Rewind it. I want to see that again.
That doesn't happen.
Or his dad records a soccer game, and instead of sitting through the soccer game, he goes, just forward it to the goals. I'm like, well, you'll never know what a pain this game is.
Right. You have to learn to suffer a little bit to enjoy it. Do you know that I was on, there was a local show here in Chicago, The Magic Door, and I was a regular on that. Do you know
you
that?
Were?
Yeah. I watched it as a kid, and it wasn't very good.
Until you got there.
No, it was worse when I got there. They finally canceled it after 19 years when I got there. But they changed the focus. The Magic Door was paid for by the Jewish church, the synagogue. And
don't call it that. Thank
synagogue?
God you're half Jewish.
I know.
Because you would have gotten so many texts.
The synagogue. So
Friday,
it was all
you
very
call it
subliminal.
The Jewish church.
Yeah.
Your father is writhing in his grave.
Just had a heart attack. You just had a heart attack. I just got a text from him, and here's what the text says. So I did the show, and by the time I got on the show, it used to be all kinds of puppets and stuff, and they decided to make it like lessons that young kids could learn from.
Uh-huh.
So it'd be like, what if your parents were getting a divorce, or what if you moved to a new city or something like that.
That's useful, though.
So, yeah.
News you can use.
But it was still bad. It was still not a good show. But just to be on it was kind of weird because I watched it as a kid and then all of a sudden
That's
I was
cool.
on it.
That's cool, though.
Yeah. That was very strange. And do you know who I replaced on the show? This is cool. Dan Castellaneta, who is the voice of Homer Simpson.
Oh, my gosh.
I replaced him on the show. And I'll never forget the producer saying to me, you're going to be replacing Danny, who went to seek his fortune in Los Angeles. Good luck. Like that. Like, he'll never amount to anything.
Yeah.
He did okay.
Did you write for, I thought either you or Cochran or somebody we know wrote in L.A. for shows.
No, when I was there, I was doing stand-up. I wasn't writing stand-up for shows.
And then what did you do with SNL? You auditioned?
I auditioned and I made two cuts 1 year. And then I did not get it. There was still kind of a lot to go. I didn't get to meet Lorne Michaels, but I did make two cuts, which at the time...
No, there was a lot to go.
I still didn't get
back it. Back it up.
But I was 20, and it was amazing to me to get that far.
Yeah.
You know, and I met the casting director from the show and stuff. That was kind of cool. But they went with more talented people.
Maybe.
I wouldn't be here. You'd be talking to nobody. It'd just be you talking to nobody.
That's true. That would have been a lot. That would have been a lot.
We must close things off on.
We
must.
This went by so fast. And you know why it was?
What?
Because I had my power bar.
Is that what it was? That made all the difference, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll take a little break, and then we'll close things off. Have a handkerchief ready. It's going to get a little bit sad up in here. It's Bill and Anna in for Wendy and WGN. Did you just say chirp? Are you making birdie noises at me?
No, it's that you're guilting me now.
That's my favorite thing is when you come in and you do different birds from around the world, and then I have to identify the bird. Cockatiel?
I guess.
Yeah, it was very good. That's an elephant. That's a bee.
No, isn't that the...
That's a
woodpecker.
A woodpecker, of course it is.
Or is it more...
Now this, I know they just got rid of Pat Tomasulo's show and they're looking for something. You making animal noises and then...
Be a lot cheaper.
It would be cheaper and I think more informative.
Mm.
Consider it.
I just make them up as I go. I don't know what bird noises I'm making.
We'll just see what happens.
Right.
That's the magic of you.
This was fun,
This was fun. Let's do this again.
And again and again.
And again and again and again.
Yeah.
All right, we'll figure that out.
Mm.
Have a happy weekend.
Thank you for coming in.
That's Anna Balaval, everybody. Watch her on the WGN TV Morning News for Around Town, where she lights her guests on fire. No one else on TV does that.
No, a towel. It was just a towel.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Greatly appreciated. Come back on Monday for more adventures. Bye.